Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Oh, hallelujah. Hey, if you will open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, come before you this morning, and Lord, thank you for your presence. Lord, help us. That's our cry this morning. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for helping us, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Could you put up furious? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Furious. How many of you guys know what this word means? Furious. Anybody been furious? Hallelujah. We're going to scratch out the first meaning of it. Extremely angry. Is that okay? Hallelujah. We're going to say we're full of anger or energy. We're going to scratch out the anger. Is that okay with you guys? Hallelujah. But full of energy, violent or intense, passionate and unrestricted. Is that okay? Full of energy, violent or intense, passionate and unrestricted. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that this word is describing you this morning. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Full of energy, violent or intense. You're going to understand violent in a little bit. Passionate and unrestricted. Do you like that word, unrestricted? How many of you know that we are free? And the Word of God says we're free indeed. We're a lot more freer than we know. How many know that? That freedom comes in the form of Jesus Christ and only Him. Hallelujah. I don't care who you are. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know freedom. Is that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. So, hey, furious. So our story today is about Jehoshaphat. We're going to call him the original Fast and Furious. Is that all right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. So let's go in the Word of God, starting at verse 1 of chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. Hallelujah. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them others beside Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. And they came to seek the Lord. Isn't that nice? When trouble comes, where's the place to go? It's to go find the Lord. Amen? Is that a good rule for us? Yeah, and it says Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord. And then he said, you know what? I'm going to get the rest of the folks in here involved with this. Is that okay? So he calls the rest in. He says, hey, man, let's come together and let's seek the Lord. And what were they asking for? Do you remember? What does it say up there? What were they asking for? They were asking the Lord for what? Help. H-E-L-P. Lord, help. Lord, we need your help this morning. Is that right? Hallelujah. How many of you know it's a good place to be when you need help? Some of you might not understand what I just said, but I'm going to tell you, when you're needing help, it's a good place for you. Because God says, I'll help you. I will always help you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She proclaims a fast. Verse 4, it says, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Are you not God? Are you not our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil comes upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then you will hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let in Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold how they have rewarded us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Hallelujah. Waiting on God. Hallelujah. What I really like about this story, or this account of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the son of Asa. Asa was one of the good kings of Israel. Asa had proclaimed during his reign, he said, if there is anybody in the realm of Israel and Judah, if there's anybody that does not seek the Lord, we'll kill him. What do you think of that? He said, we'll kill him. That was Jehoshaphat's dad. But it's funny because as time goes on, how many know that time wears on us? Is that right? Time seems to wear on us sometimes. But God is in charge of the times. So if he's in charge of the times, you know, we can be content and happy in any time we're at. How many know that? Amen. We can be content. We can say, hey, man, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. And that's enough. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. We can be content there. But it's funny that time wore on to Asa when he got sick. The Bible says he got sick in his feet. And the Bible, and what's funny, the Word of God says he didn't seek the Lord. He sought to the physicians. Isn't that crazy? When you have a God that is saying, man, anything you want, I got it. I've got it for you, man. I am your provider. I'll protect you. If a pestilence comes, you know, that's what pestilence is. Pestilence can be bugs. I mean, you like bugs. I was sitting outside last night, and Jonathan says, hey, Dad, let's check that out. And there was this great big sun spider. How many like sun spiders? They are the weirdest looking things, man. I got, but he saw it. I didn't. It could have been up my leg pretty quick if I would have. Thank my son for having good eyes. Amen. It was pretty. But Asa sought to the physicians and not to the Lord. And I want to tell you something, folks. The Word of God tells us to honor our father and our mother. Is that right? And how do you mostly honor mom and dad? Pay attention to what they're saying. Is that right? That's a good way to honor mom. Listen to what they're telling you. Obey what they're telling you. Take in what they're telling you. Is that right? And folks, I'm going to say this morning. Hey, when it comes to certain things with God, honor him in everything. Is that right? Honor him in everything. No matter what's going on in your life, honor him. Always go to him first. Is that right? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. What things? I'm going to talk about the promises of God. They'll be added to you. That was Asa's dad that he passed away. He died due to the disease in his feet, but he didn't seek the Lord. But Jehoshaphat, when he started serving God, when he became king, he started clearing out things. See, Jehoshaphat, he was on fire. He was a man on fire. He knew God. And he says, you know what? I'm going to take these groves out of here. Nobody's going to serve these other gods, man. I'm going to reign over these folks. And Jehoshaphat was a good king because he would help. He actually helped a bad king, Ahab, and Ahab's son. You're going to see in the scriptures that Jehoshaphat actually went to battle with them. He told them both, hey, our men are your men. Our horses are your horses. I'm with you, bro. Let's go fight this battle. Jehoshaphat had a heart to do anything that the Lord would have him to do. And here in this story, the Bible says that some folks come up against him. And the first thing he does, and here's a beautiful pattern. He sets his heart to seek the Lord. He goes after God. He says, God, there is an enemy that's coming. It's just a few miles away. Will you help us? And then he thinks, I'm going to bring these folks. I'm going to bring the rest of Judah in here. So he calls Judah. He says, come on in. Let's all. And what he did is he proclaimed a fast. How many like fasting? Anybody like fasting? Yeah. Not a hand in the night. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't blame you. I like my curly fries. Amen. Hallelujah. I like my burritos, la chorizo. Isn't that right, John? Praise God. We like our food. But he proclaimed a fast. Was there a reason? Yeah, there was a reason. Hallelujah. There was an enemy coming to destroy them. Hallelujah. But what Jehoshaphat does, what I love about it, he begins to talk to God in a way that I believe God really wants us to talk to him about. Jehoshaphat began to tell God, hey, are we not your children? Are we not the seed of Abraham who you promised to give Jerusalem to? Are we not those people, God? And I could just see guys going, yeah. Okay, come on, brother. Come on, man. Let's hear it, man. And he says, these three nations are coming against us. And the three nations, I mean, that were coming against were the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the people of Seir. Is that right? And I'd like to put, I just want to show you something, what Jehoshaphat was doing when he was speaking this thing before all the people with God. Deuteronomy chapter 2, if you would bring that up, verse 4. Check this out. This is what God told Moses. He commanded, and command thou the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell where? Seir. They shall be afraid of you. Take good heed to yourselves, therefore. Can you give me the next verse, verse 5? Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land. Is that what God's saying? I won't give it to you. No, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau for a possession. You think God doesn't know what's going on? I want to take you now to verse 9. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to me, distress not the who? The Moabites. Neither contend with them in the battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession. Do you see what God's doing? He says, I'm not going to give it to you because I've already given it. He says, because I have given it to Ar, under the children of Lot, for a possession. Let's go to verse 19. Hallelujah. And when thou comest near over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. See, this happened when God took Israel out of Egypt and was taking them into that wilderness. And God said, you can't have these three. I've already given these up. I've already given this to Lot. I've already given this to Esau. So you can't touch them. You just be nice to them. Hey, they're going to be afraid of you, but don't worry. I don't want you to touch them. And this is the prayer. This is what, can you put up 2 Chronicles 20, verse 10? And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Seir, these are those three nations, isn't it? Isn't that crazy? Isn't that cool? I love it. Behold now the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, which you would not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Ah. One of the best things to do with God, listen, is to remind him of his promises. It's the best thing you can do with God. You can place his word that he's spoken to you on your lips and begin to speak those things. See, Jehoshaphat knew something. See, Jehoshaphat knew the word of God, didn't he? He knew what God had said. He said, God, this is our possession. Isn't that right? There's a big bunch of people coming to remove us off of this land. But God, this is our possession that's been given to us from you. And then these people, they are the ones that you wouldn't allow Moses to attack and to destroy. They are the ones that are coming after us and our possession, Lord. So God, what do you want us to do? So I'm going to look at this. Verse 12, I'm going to reread this one. It says, O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on you. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. I love that. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes, we're looking at you. God, we don't have the resources. We don't have, Father, what it takes to beat this enemy. We don't have, but we have you, Lord. So our eyes are on you, God. Hallelujah. And then the word of God says that they're all standing. Jehoshaphat finished his prayer. And they're all standing there. And there's a pause. It doesn't say that, does it? But it also doesn't say, and immediately the Spirit of the Lord came upon somebody. It doesn't say that in the next verse. I believe there was a time for it. There was a time of waiting. How many of you know it's good to wait on God? Do you know it's good to wait for God? Do you know that it's good for you to wait for God? See, a lot of us say, yeah, we'll acknowledge it, but how much waiting are you doing? How much are you actually doing? How much are you actually taking out of your sweet time and saying, God, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to take this time and I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to call upon you and I'm going to wait. Hallelujah. Because the word of God tells us a few things. It does say that if we call on him, he'll answer. Is that right? If we call on him. Hallelujah. Rebecca, would you come up? Hallelujah. So we're going to wait just a little bit. These folks are waiting on God. Hallelujah. We wait for you. Our heart's desire is you, for your love compels us. We long for you here. My soul waits. We wait for you. My heart's desire is you, for your love compels us. We long for you here. See, they're waiting. My soul waits. We wait for you. Our heart's desire is you, for your love compels us. We long for you here. My soul waits. Sing with us. My soul waits for you. My soul waits for you. My soul waits for you. My soul waits. My soul waits for, yes, Lord. My soul waits for you. My
soul waits for you. My soul waits.
We wait for you. Our hearts desire. Your love compels us.
We long for you here.
My soul waits. We wait for you. My heart's desire is you, for your love compels us.
We long for you here.
Yes, Lord. My soul waits. Sing loud. My soul waits for you. My soul waits for you. My soul waits for you. My soul waits. My soul waits for you. My soul waits for you. My soul waits for you. My soul waits.
Now
as they're waiting, they're waiting for God. They're sitting there waiting. And would you put Isaiah 41, verse 1 up? Hallelujah. They're waiting. I just want to, while they're waiting and we're waiting, I just want to show you a couple of scriptures. It says, keep silence before me, O islands. And the people, let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. That word judgment is a courtroom word. God is saying, let us come near together to work this out. I want to show you. But come near. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Let them speak. You see what he says? Let them speak. Speak what? Speak the word of God. In that throne room, in that place before God, in the house. In this case, Jehoshaphat is speaking these things. Let them speak. Would you put Isaiah 43:26 up? Put me in remembrance, is what God says. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. You see, God's given us very precious and powerful promises. If we will go into his throne room, which he has invited us in, and he's told us, come on in. Sit with me. Listen for me. Hallelujah. For I will speak to you, is what the Lord says. My soul waits for you. My soul waits for you. My soul waits for you. My soul waits. My soul waits for you. My soul waits for you. Lord, we're waiting on you.
My soul waits for you. My soul waits. My soul waits for you.
My soul waits for you. My soul waits for you. My soul waits. My soul waits for you. My soul waits for you. My soul waits for you. My soul waits. Yeah. Glory to God. And the word of God says, let's go back to verse 14 of chapter 20. It says, then upon Jehaziah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. He said, hearken, all Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down amongst them, against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, for thou, nor be thou dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Hallelujah. Oh, when the Lord speaks, oh man, precious, precious times. Hallelujah. And God spoke to the whole congregation. The whole congregation heard it. Hallelujah. The word of God says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping him. let me tell you something. I like this pattern. I like this pattern. I like what's going on with Jehoshaphat. He says, let's seek the Lord. Let's fast. Hallelujah. He brings out the word of God and he says, this is what you said, God. This is what you did. This is your promises, not ours. This is you brought us into these promises, God. It wasn't us. It was you, Lord. And the Lord speaks. And he says, you won't have to fight this, Jehoshaphat. Guess what? The battle's not yours. It's mine. Isn't that the way it is all the time, folks? Let me just tell you this. The battle's not yours. It's his. It doesn't belong to you. Don't hold on to it. Don't try to fight it. Let him fight it for you. Just believe him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's evidence of things that are not seen. Just hold on to what you got. God will not go back on his promises. Is that right? He told them, don't attack Seir, the Moabites, or the Ammonites. Don't attack them because I have given them to them, even though those people probably didn't even think about God. But yet he had given those to Esau and Lot. And what God has given you, don't let go of it. Hold on to it with everything you've got. The promises are real and they're precious to you. Don't let anything or anyone take it out of your hand. Hallelujah. And Jehoshaphat lays his face down on the floor and worshiped. You like this pattern? Now the Lord has spoken. Now it's time to worship. Let's worship, Lord. Let's worship you, Lord. Let's worship you, God, because you have answered your people. You folks, you know what? When God says, call upon me in times of trouble and I will answer you, he means just that. He will answer you. He will. Are you waiting? Are you willing to wait? Is that the thing? That's the thing. Are you willing just to wait for him? Just wait. Glory to God. And they're worshiping. And the next verse is this. And the Levites, yeah, them guys. The children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Woo, man, let me tell you something. Now it's time to praise God. Amen. They have not engaged their enemy at all, but yet they've engaged the battle plan. Is that right? Woo, they have engaged. They have learned. God has given them, just by them seeking the Lord, what to do. Go up by the river. Go by Ziz. They're going to come up through there, man. And you know what? You don't have to fight. I'm going to send some ambushments against them. I believe these Levites are saying, I got to do something. I got to play a cymbal. I got to play a harp. I got to do something. I got to get going because God has just given us the answer. He's won the battle for us already. Do you not get it? Hallelujah. So they got up and they didn't just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, like some of you. Come on, man. Praise the Lord. God, praise God. Oh, praise God. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, praise. Yeah, yeah. Now, he didn't do it that way. They said with a loud voice, praise God. Hallelujah. He's able to do everything that he's promised to us. That's who he is. Don't doubt him. You're attacking his very nature when you doubt him. That's why he says, hold on to the promises I've given you because they are real and they will happen if you hold on to them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How can you go after anything but what God is? Is there anything out there that compares to the God we have? Nothing. Buddha who? Nothing. There's nothing out there compares to this God that we're talking about. Hallelujah. Don't waste your time. Hallelujah. Looking in other places. Go after God. With all your heart, all your soul, your mind, I guarantee you'll find him. Hallelujah. Because he loves you. And he's drawing you and he's pulling you in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me if I get a little excited. Hallelujah. Jesus. First. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. Listen to this. So shall you be what? Established. Believe in him. Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper. People are going to tell you, hey, that book was just written by men. Just by men. Mm-mm. The Word of God says this, that holy men of God, as the Spirit came upon them, they wrote these words. There is no way that any man could have written this book without God. No way. Hallelujah. Shakayalas. Glory to God. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. His prophets and the Lord has said to us, these are the promises I have given you. Those are the lands that he's given. But I'm going to tell you something. In the New Testament, when Jesus died for our sins, he's washed your sins away. He has healed you. He has cleansed you. There is nothing that is by any means will hurt you, is what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. Believe him. Hallelujah. And when he had consulted with the people, he anointed singers. He appointed singers to the Lord that they should praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You know what? It's an oddball thing to do, to set a bunch of singers out in front of your army. Can you imagine doing that today? Hallelujah. Jamming to Michael Jackson before they go out there. Come on, man. That's a weird thing to do. But you know what I bet? I'll bet that he didn't have any problems with any of them. They all heard that. So when he says, hey, we're going to set you guys up front, let's do it. Let's praise the Lord. Because the Lord said we don't have to fight this battle. So we'll just praise him all the way through it. So all these Levites go out there and they're praising God. And just as God had said, is that right? Just as God has said. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked under the multitude, and behold, they were all dead bodies fallen to the earth. None escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches and dead bodies, with the dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, it was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Barak. That's a valley of blessing. That's what Barak means. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the valley of Barak unto this day. Everybody say Barak. Say it again. Come on, man. Good job. What does it mean? Blessing. Hallelujah. And they returned every man of Judah to Jerusalem. And Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Is that right? Who made them to rejoice? The Lord made them to rejoice. And they came to Jerusalem with the psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries, when they had heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Do you see that? When people begin to hear that the Lord fights your battles, and you begin to testify with your mouth, yeah, this was the Lord, man. I mean, yeah, all I did was wait on God, and he told me what to do. All I did was pray. All I did was worship God, and he did what he said he would do. What his promise said was, it was true. Hallelujah. Verse 30, so the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. And God gave them rest round about. Isn't that cool? Good story. God, when you seek him, and you get a hold of his promise, and when he does that thing that he says he's going to do, you know what? All of a sudden, you've gained a notch in your in your kingdom of God belt. Is that right? Hey, God has done something else for me. I've got another testimony to give. I got something else to say now because of what God has done for me. Ooh, man. Hallelujah. And great peace comes on you because you know that no matter what happens, God has you. Isn't that right? Great peace. All the realm around you, man, who cares? I don't care. God, I'm in the midst of what God is doing, and I got peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Furious. Jehoshaphat was furious for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His fire was on. He was a man on fire. God, didn't it say? Didn't you say this, God? God, did you not? And I don't think it was one of these proud things. It was just, hey, God, didn't you say this? Didn't you say this? And he's a man on fire. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. I'd like to read that. Just want to show you this. New Testament stuff. Amen. How many like New Testament? Come on, man. Verse 12 in the New Testament, Jesus is speaking. He says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Jehoshaphat was very violent. That's furious. He was violent about what he was going after. And that, folks, that's what we got to do. We got to be violent. Not towards one another. Come on. Is that right? You don't want to be mean to each other, man. You got to love one another. You do something wrong, apologize. Folks, we all do something wrong. We all don't get it right. But out of your mouth needs to come an apology or whatever for whatever's going on. Is that right? Amen. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. And God says, hey, man, this is what I've got. You've got to press in. You've got to wait on me. Take the time to wait, and you'll find it will be very profitable to you. I'm going to show you another scripture, and it says this. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I think I say that with a lot of these scriptures. I love the Word of God. There's four of them here. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith like you. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied. How many like that? Grace be multiplied to you. May peace be multiplied to you through what? Through what? The knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus our Lord. Through that knowledge, that's how you get grace and peace. By learning about Him. And it brings peace. Brings grace. Hallelujah. According as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Talked about that last week, how God has already given you everything. Through the knowledge of Him that has called you to glory and virtue. You see, He's called you into it. He's placed a call in your life into glory and virtue. And verse 4 says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He has given us precious promises. Amen. Place those promises on your lips. Let those come out daily. Even if there's nothing going on, let a promise come out of your word, out of your mouth. Say, God, I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I've been healed. Woo, thank you, Lord. I can feel that. Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Because you really don't know what's going on inside your body. How many of you know that? Does anybody in the house right now know exactly what's going on inside? There's things going on in there. Is that right? Right now, your breakfast is being... Right? Yeah. We really don't know what's going on in there. So we really say, hey, you know, God, your word says. And it's not by fear, guys. Is that right? It's just, God, this is what your word says. By your stripes, I've been healed. I am the head, not the tail. I'm above and I'm beneath, God. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Woo, come on, man. Hallelujah. I am expecting to live a long life. Amen. Praise God. Just let those things come out of your mouth because the Lord has already placed them in there for you. Hallelujah. Precious promises. Hallelujah. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this: confess your faults one to another. Amen. Yeah, never mind. And pray for one another that you may be healed. And then it says this: the effectual, what? Fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. The effectual, fervent, furious prayer. Hallelujah. God, this is what your word says. Hallelujah. And I will believe you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. This is what you promised, Lord. This is what you said. Well, we got through the fury part. Let's look at the fast part. How many like that? We talk about fasting. Hallelujah. If you would, put up fast for you. Put up the definition of fast. Here we go. We kind of crossed out moving at a high rate of speed. Okay, is that right? That's the way most of you drive coming to church. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Second one is abstain from all or some kind of food or drink. And in preparing this, as I was reading, how many of you know that fasting is a tool in our toolbox as Christians? Do you know that? We've been given, who was it? Was Pastor John, was that you talking about the toolbox?
Yes.
Yeah, Pastor John was talking about all the tools that God has given us, you know, praying in the Spirit and all the different things that God has given us. And fasting is just one of those tools. And, you know, and how many would be honest to say, I've kind of neglected that tool in my toolbox? Anybody in here? I'm going to tell you something. I am going to proclaim a fast for our church. I'm going to ask the men and women of our church. I don't care how you do it. I don't even want to know how you do it. Because the Word of God tells us that God says, that, well, the Lord said, he says, when you fast, do it in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret, he'll reward you, open you. Don't come in here. Hey, what's wrong with you, brother? I'm fasting. Come on, man. It says wash your face, put a smile on your face, and come in. Somebody invites you to dinner, you don't have to say, ah, no thanks. Thank you. Maybe next time. You don't have to tell them you're fasting. No is an easy word, all right? Yeah. But I'm going to ask you folks that if you would step in with us, fast for what God would have to do in this house. For what God would have to do in your house. Hallelujah. Fast. Ask the Lord for wisdom and understanding while you're fasting. And allow him to place that within you. Hallelujah. Some of the greatest times I've had. Some of the greatest things that the vision that I got for this church came through a fast. I was fasting one day. You know, I'll say this. I was fasting one day, and I'd gone to see my brother in the hospital, and he was very sick. And while he was there, some of you heard this story, but I feel like God wants me to say it again. And while I was there, I was on a fast. And when I went in, I went to see my brother. They had told us, hey, only a couple of you can be in the room at a time. So my niece and I, we went out to the waiting room out front. Like I said, my brother was very sick. And being on a fast, sometimes what fasting does for us sometimes, it allows you to hear the Lord. It brings a clarity to some things. It allows you to see things that you weren't expecting. And with me, there was a compassion that showed up in my life that night because of the fast, because of what was going on. And there was a young couple that came in, looked like kids, they really did. And the girl's name was Allie. And her boyfriend, I'm going to lose his name. Angel, thank you. Angel and Allie. And they came in. When they first came in, we were sitting across, and they had a little boy with them. The little boy was just screaming, bloody murder, man. And the wife, the girl, she went up to get him signed in. And while my niece and I were sitting there, we were watching, I just looked over there, and I can see tears coming down to Dad's face. You know, you want to help your child, but you just don't know what to do. They're screaming, they're in pain, and you just want to make it stop. And so I can see him crying. And all of a sudden, I just got this overwhelming compassion for him. When I saw those tears, I go, man, I know what you feel like, brother. Didn't realize God was getting ready to do something. Two other people that were there with my brother, they came out, and my niece and I went back in to be with my brother. And while we were in there, they told us, hey, can you step out just for a minute? We're going to do a little test on them, then you come right back in. So we stepped out, and we were standing outside, and there was a gurney there, and I could hear somebody crying. And I said, well, there's somebody crying. So my niece was talking to me. I said, hold on. You know, so I went over, and there's a lady laying in the gurney there, and she's crying. And I go, can I pray for you? And she said, sure. Sure, please. I said, okay. So I prayed for her and asked God to help her and touch her, you know. I believe in prayer. How many know that? I believe that God will do what he told us he would do if we would just do it. Amen. So I prayed for her. And when I stood up, because I was kind of leaning over the gurney, and then when I stood up, there's this guy with his hat on backwards, sunglasses, and he's looking at me. And I go, oh, hey, how you doing, man? And he goes, hey. He just didn't really say anything. I said, I was just praying for him. He just kind of nodded. And then they told us we can go back in the room, went in the room. And then a little while later, we went to trade with the folks that were outside. Well, we were sitting there. I looked, and I didn't see Allie or Angel in the room. So I went outside to call my wife to let her know how my brother was doing and what they were doing to him. While I was standing outside, Angel come walking by, and I said, "Hold on, man!" And I stopped and I said, "Hey, how's your little boy?" And he goes, "Oh, man, I don't know. He's not doing too good." I go, "What's wrong with him?" And he goes, "Well, he's got the tube that goes from his bladder was pinched, so he had a catheter." And he said, "We're from Phoenix, and we're down here for a party, and I think he pulled on it, and it plugged off, and he can't go to the bathroom, so we're here to help, you know, take him in, let him." Reset it, and then maybe you can go to the restroom and stuff, you know. I said, hey, well, let me pray for you. He goes, okay. So I prayed for him, and I asked that, Lord, touch little Angel, was his name. Touch little Angel. So we go, he goes in, and then we go back in to see my brother. I mean, I'm sorry making this for so long. But we go back in to see my brother. Come back out. And I go outside to call my sister to let her know. And while I'm outside talking to her, I could hear these footsteps running. And this young girl just jumped on my back. I go, who are you? What's going on? I thought I was being mugged. And you know, she's crying, and he comes up, and he tells her, get off him. You know, get over here, man. So she goes, just want to thank you, sir. I said, no. He goes, well, we got in there, they were going to reset that catheter. And my husband told me that you had prayed for him. I said, yeah, that's cool. And she goes, we got in there, and we told the nurse, hey, just need to reset it. And she goes, well, we're going to put a new one in. We're just going to go ahead and do a new one. So that when they pulled the catheter out, he started a sprinkler system going on. So they had to cover him. And the nurse looked at him and said, that wasn't supposed to happen, right? And they said, no, that was not supposed to happen. And they go, what do you want me to do? You want me to put another one in? I said, well, we don't know. So, you know, they're young kids. So they called their doctor. And the doctor said, well, if he's relieved himself, it's okay. If I mean, that shouldn't have happened. Even the doctor said that should not have happened. That tube is pinched off. It shouldn't have happened. I said, well, it did. And the little boy's fine. Hey, smiling around. Anyway. So she goes, we just want to thank you. I said, praise God. Fasting. What she told me was, she goes, you know, a few months ago, she goes, I work at the Greyhound station in Phoenix, Greyhound bus station. She goes, that's where I work. And she goes, a few months ago, I was putting my little angel in his crib, and her husband and her had been doing cocaine. And she said she heard a voice that said, stop doing cocaine. Stop doing that. And she heard it, and she said immediately it made her weep. For whatever reason, she started crying. Angel, her husband, or her boyfriend asked her, hey, what's going on? And she goes, I don't know. God doesn't want me to do that no more. Somebody doesn't want me to do that no more. She goes, I'm not going to do that no more. So she quit doing it. She said somehow she'd get in her car to go down to the bus station to go to work, and her radio was set on a Christian radio station. And she heard the gospel, and she said as soon as she'd hear it, she'd start crying. She'd just start crying. She's telling me this, and I'm getting, yeah, come on, man. I said, have you ever given your heart to the Lord? She goes, we don't know. No, not that I know of. I said, well, here, man, praise God. So I spoke to her, led them to the Lord. They gave their hearts to Jesus. To folks, this was from a fasting. Well, I was on my way back in, and here comes this guy's. He's bald as a cue ball. What should I say? What word do I use? Hairless? No. No. Anyway, he's walking out, and he looks like he's going to do some business. He's walking towards me, just in a real, and I'm looking at him, and I saw he had something in his hand, and he steps up to me, and he goes, this is what he tells me, do you work here? I go, no, I don't work here. He goes, no. And when I looked in his hand, it was that hat and his sunglasses that this guy, I hadn't seen him without his hat and his sunglasses. And he had his hat and sunglasses in. And he goes, well, you should. He goes, I went back there to see my wife. And see, you see, about 2 weeks ago, she had a toe cut off. And it's gotten affected on her. And it's been hurting her real bad. And he goes, when I went back there to see her, her gurney was, they had moved in. So I went and asked the nurse. I said, hey, where's she at? She's over there. She's over in that room. We placed her in that room. So he wanted to see her. She was sound asleep. And he asked the nurse, he goes, what'd you give her? And she goes, we didn't give her anything. She hadn't seen the doctor yet. I know that God was doing great things that night. I know it. And it's just because he says he'll do it. Is that right? But compassion, folks, compassion is, it is something that, and that's, I'm saying this to you because I believe that when you fast, when you're going to be fasting, those of you that will fast with us, while you're fasting, compassion is going to come into your heart for those around you, for the persons that God wants to speak to. When you feel it, go after it. Will you do that? Take off, say, God, Lord, I can sense that I feel, I mean, I don't know why I feel sorry for this person or whatever, but when I do, God, will you give me words to speak? And you watch. You watch what he does. I want to see this city saved. I know it's a big thing to ask. I know, but we have a big God. We have a big God. I believe this city is a city set on a hill. A light to shine in all the valley so that anybody and everybody can see and understand that God loves them. Amen. Hallelujah. So would you fast with me? We got some things coming up. We got men's and women's retreat coming up. And folks, I will tell you, if we begin now, we're going to find that there is such an outpouring that's going to happen to those that will take the time to go. Is that right? We're going to see that inside the house here, there's going to be an outpouring like we've never seen before because we're seeking God. Hallelujah. Mm. And I'm going to leave it at that. The fast and the furious. Are you on fire for God? Hallelujah. If you're not, maybe God will open that up during a fast. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your children, God. I thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, God. So, Lord, I just pray this morning, Lord, that you, Father God, you would speak to each and every one exactly what to do. Father, we leave that to you. Lord, we thank you that you are doing great and mighty things for your people, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are doing great and mighty things in the world today. And we're a part of it, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen.